Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest is Sally Stewart. Sally is an artist working in many different media, especially wood and watercolor. Her graduate and undergraduate degrees are from Indiana University of Pennsylvania, from which she has received a Distinguished Alumni Award. She has exhibited extensively, and her crosses, commissioned by the ELCA, have been given as gifts to church leaders around the globe. Sally, welcome to the Seminary Explores.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So we had a special service for first responders at 9/11 today in chapel, and one of the elements of the service was a piece that you had done called Out of the Depths. Could you describe a little bit how that came to be?
I think that the suddenness of 9/11 kind of knocked us all off our pins. And I believe I was working in my studio on something like a flower carving, maybe. And as I kept seeing the videos day after day of what was going on at Ground Zero, I said to myself, and I really did, if you call yourself an artist, you should be trying to say something about this terrible, terrible thing. And I didn't know where to start. I didn't plan to tell anybody I was going to do it because I didn't think it would work. And so I thought, where do you begin? How do you do something that catches all of the emotions that we saw and felt and heard and experienced? And so since the end result of those 200-story buildings, two airliners, and, of course, all of the people, since the end result of those collapsing was a pile of rubble, I thought, this is where that ended, at that spot. This is where I'll begin my sculpture. And so I went to my scrap box, which had woods from all over the world, and I took two handfuls and held them slightly above the floor and dropped them. And where they dropped and touched each other, I began my sculpture. I glued them together, and then I began to add things that were becoming apparent, symbols of people running away from the scene, what was left of the buildings, the force of the buildings falling, which made like an explosion. And I just kept adding things as the story was being told on the television.
And you were describing earlier a point at which you were pretty far along in the piece, and you got the saw out. Do you want to describe that? It sounds so appropriate for the...
Well, and you know, the thing that kept... I think the thing that struck me most was the two planes, like knives, just slashing these buildings. And I had placed in my sculpture all the things I could think of that were appropriate to talk about Ground Zero, but I didn't think I had made a comment at all of how I felt about it. And so thinking of the knives, thinking of the planes crashing through the building, slicing them, I just took my saber saw and cut right through the sculpture. And I laid the two pieces a little bit apart on the floor, and I said, okay, now whatever you put into that space will make the statement. And so at that point, I got a phone call from a friend, and she said, do you have a photo of what you're doing? I said, yes. So she took the photo, and a few days later called me and said, it might be possible for you to have a piece of metal from the buildings at Ground Zero. And I said, no, I don't think so, because I can't get to New York. Her husband was a charter pilot, and so he had been hired to take a scrap dealer to New York City to make arrangements to bring back some of the huge columns, those beams, to his yard in Indiana, Pennsylvania, and he would see that they could become a small memorial for the college. And which my friend showed him a photo of what I was doing, and he said, tell her to come over. And when I got there, he handed me two envelopes, and he said, if you see anything here you can use in your sculpture, put those things in your envelopes. And I followed him to where the columns were lying on the ground, just as they had been in New York City. And as he climbed around on them and looked for a small piece of metal he could cut loose, I noticed you could see inside the columns, and the, whatever was in there had come from New York City. So I gathered as much as I could in the envelopes. And when I got home that day, I had a little piece of bent, rusted, burned metal, and I had several pieces of debris. And when I emptied the envelopes and I started examining them, I found metal and I found paper, which had been wrapped, crunched like somebody took it in their fist. And I found little pieces of broken fragments. And when I examined the paper, it was, I could tell from the wording that was business from being done inside the World Trade Centers. And when I turned the little pieces of, they looked like stones, over, and there was a little cross looking up at me.
Now, and is this the cross that was in one of the fragments? Wasn't that the centerpiece of the first actual wood cross that you made?
When I found that, I really was, I think, for a couple of reasons, I was very, very moved by it. And one of the reasons was there had been a lot of discussion about where is God when these things happen. And I thought, here he is right here. And I had been looking for something to, a comment to put into my sculpture. It just, this was all about the same time. And so I didn't want the little fragment to be lost, and I went to my scrap box again, and I got big pieces of wood from all over the world and put them together to form a cross and set the little stone into it. Someone saw it and wanted one. Someone else saw it and wanted one. And it began 14, 15 years of cross making, and I'm still making crosses.
And these have, some of them have been used by the presiding bishop of the ELCA on these international visits, haven't they?
Yes. To date, since I think it was 2006 when I made my first one, till today, I believe I've made 72 for Bishop Hansen and Bishop Eaton.
Okay, yeah.
And they take them and when they're flying to different countries and then give them as gifts. And so far I know of about 30 countries that they...
And they're each original,
each,
right?
One is... I've never made two crosses the same.
Wow.
And some are large and some are for different reasons, and some are for newborn babies, a thank you gift, an anniversary gift, a birthday gift, or just I traded one for a computer repairman's visit.
I love that.
He said, are these for sale? And I said, yes. And I said, why don't we just trade one for it? And so he said, we don't have a cross and we need one. And so many, many reasons, and about 200 crosses I've made so far.
And it stems from this sort of accidental discovery from the inside of one of the pillars of the Trade Center.
Something that you found, yes. And you can talk about that all you want. My idea of it is that I find directions in strange places, and these say, okay, now do this for a while. Change your direction. Try something new. Mm-hmm. Go in a new way. And this seems to be very fulfilling to me.
And it's interesting to me, too, that you didn't resist that, because sometimes we get the signals that we should go in a new direction and we don't always follow those. So it's interesting that where this has taken you.
Yes, and I've done a lot of different kinds of things for different reasons. But this making crosses and using all kinds of found materials and woods and making them out of the most crazy ways sometimes, to me, what it does for me is say, who is this man Jesus? All right, this cross symbolizes this about him. This cross tells us this about him. And so there's no end to ideas.
Mm-hmm. I have another question, which is quite different, but it's still connected to this because of your life as an artist. I'm so curious about the time when you started working with wood and were one of the very few women who you would go to these exhibits and would be the only woman amongst men. Can you talk a little bit about that, what that was like?
When I decided to try wood carving, it was in the early 70s, and at that time I was teaching, and boys were scheduled for shops and girls for home ec and mm-hmm. other, and it was a very clean-cut division. And when I began to work and did my first carving, I took it along to school and showed the woodshop teacher, and he was a little bit amused. He thought it was kind of funny that a woman was working with wood. So he gave me another piece, and I began to really enjoy it. And then I was invited to some shows, which were all men. And the comment of the one was, we'd like you to show with our Johnstown Wood Carvers Club because you're a woman, and I think that'll attract people to our show. So, yeah, it was an interesting thing. But there are a lot of women wood carvers now, I'm sure.
Yes, I think that's changed a lot. One of the pieces that you've done is also appeared on the cover of one of our Seminary Ridge Review issues, Autumn 2012. It's the Jonah piece.
The Jonah piece.
Yeah.
Jonah is, I think, a story that even young children know. I had it on an easel in my home, and someone brought their little girl for a visit, and she went up and said, Jonah, Jonah. And it was one of the first pieces of any size that I began to use a number of woods and put them together. Somewhat as a painter would use a palette and choose colors, because wood comes in many different colors and lights and darks. And so you can almost do a painting out of wood. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my first ones I did. And the story I like to tell about Jonah is I'm very much a detail person, but I missed something in Jonah. And when it was on exhibit and it was an opening for the show, a dear little old man came up very quickly to me and said, do you know your Jonah has six toes? And I said, no, I didn't know that. Well, he does. And I thought, this is a great compliment that he looked at that much at my work.
It is.
And noticed so much about it. So, and I learn a lot from what other people tell me they see in my pieces. I'm always glad that they do that.
Very good. Well, I think today has been a rich day for those of us on the seminary campus who are able to look again at your piece, Out of the Depths, I Cry to Thee, O Lord. And it's been such a pleasure having you on campus and having your work on campus. So thank you for your time, Sally.
And it's always a pleasure to come here. I feel at home here for some reason. It's in a beautiful part of the state, and I'm always treated with such graciousness. So,
well, we are so happy to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest has been artist Sally Stewart. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from Historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.